actually pushing people out and demolishing the houses. But we're trying to get an appointment to deliver that petition, which has 3,800 signatures right now, I think, and trying to push to get some negotiations started with the city. And I think, but the issue of services, the only services that are provided by the city are sanitation, basically, the servicing of porta potties and the dumpster. So,
thank you. That was a question I actually meant to ask early on. So that's obviously you could probably even potentially find some way of managing those maybe with outside help. There's a bunch of other things I did want to get into, but I think we've covered quite a bit here, and we are right up at the 9 o'clock hour. So, Josh, I have to let you go. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you, too. It's been great talking to you.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Paul Rowland signing off for Wednesday Talk Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and African Americans, people of color, pregnant people, people without health insurance or a regular health care provider, people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, and people 65 and older are encouraged to get a flu shot. Multnomah County Health Department and Portland Community College are hosting a free weekly drive-through flu vaccine and COVID-19 testing clinic that will be held every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. until March 31, 2021, at PCC's Cascade Campus Parking Lot 1, located at 701 North Jessup Street in Portland. Entrance is on North Albina Street. You can drive through, bike through, or walk up to. To reserve an appointment for a flu shot or COVID test, call 503-988-8939. That's 503-988-8939. This campaign is a project of the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health and the Communicable Disease Services programs. It is made possible with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Public Service Announcements.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. On Friday, January 22nd, a UN treaty outlawing nuclear weapons went into effect, but the United States and other major powers have not signed on. Some are protesting in the U.S. to press the Biden administration to sign the treaty. Our guest is Alice Slater, who is on the board of World Without War and the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation. And indigenous nations in the United States, hard hit by COVID-19, are alarmed at the impact on their nations in terms of loss of life and also the threat to their culture, including maintaining their traditional languages. We speak with Ethel Branch, former Attorney General for the Navajo Nation. And tens of thousands of farmers protesting in India for the past 7 weeks managed to reach the capital city of Delhi today, Tuesday, January 26th. They are protesting against measures proposed by the Indian Prime Minister Modi, who, by the way, a friend of Trump, to privatize agriculture. 70% of agricultural workers in India are women, and women have played a central role in the protests. And the movement of farmers is now busting out globally, Protests have broken out in California's Kern County and other parts of the United States and world in solidarity with the Indian farmers and also in defense of family farms and against poverty and corporate takeovers of farms. Our guest is London-based Dee Dee Rossi, who has been in touch with women on the ground in India and is part of an effort in the UK to get the word out about the protests and to call for solidarity. The UK, like the United States, has a large population of people of Indian descent. Let us go to a clip from Reuters on what happened on the ground in Delhi on Tuesday, January 26th.
Thousands of Indian farmers entered the historic Red Fort complex in the capital on Tuesday, one even swinging from a flagpole to the sound of cheers as violence escalated elsewhere. The farmers are angry about new laws that they say help large private buyers at their expense. Protesters also charged at police with sticks, who in turn used their batons and tear gas shells to disperse them. Video footage appeared to show protesters surrounding an unidentified body cloaked in flags. The clashes were preceded by a convoy of tens of thousands of farmers driving their tractors through the fringes of the city. Hundreds, some on horseback, broke away from the main route approved by police to head for central Delhi. They spoke of wanting to reach the capital to get their message to Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
We are going to Delhi to answer the call of our leaders to participate in a tractor rally. This law is like poison to us. We are not going to accept it in any condition. We request that Modi takes back the laws as soon as possible.
The protest coincided with India's Republic Day and threatened to overshadow the annual military parade. For almost 2 months, the farmers have been camping outside New Delhi in protest of the agricultural reforms. Agriculture employs about half of India's population of 1.3 billion, and unrest among an estimated 150 million land-owning farmers worries the government. The protests pose one of the biggest challenges to Prime Minister Modi since he came to power in 2014. 9 rounds of talks with farmers' unions have failed to end the protests. And farm leaders have rejected the government's offer to delay the laws for 18 months, making a push for repeal instead.
All righty. And that was from Reuters. And we'll see what the Biden administration has to say about this, including Kamala Harris, who, of course, also is of Indian descent. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
I'm Max Pringle with these headlines. The Senate will take over the impeachment proceedings after House impeachment managers walked the article of impeachment against former President Donald Trump over to the other chamber. All 100 senators are to be sworn in as jurors. The House impeached Trump for urging a mob of his supporters to head to the Capitol building on January 6th to try and prevent the certification of Joe Biden's election win. That's when they forced their way in and fought with Capitol Police. 5 people died in the clash. The impeachment trial is scheduled to begin early next month. Senate Republicans have argued that impeaching a former president is unconstitutional and divisive. Democrats say Trump must be held to account for his role in the deadly insurrection. The state of California has lifted COVID-19 restrictions for most of the state. Governor Gavin Newsom said businesses like barbershops, hair and nail salons, and outdoor restaurant dining can resume with some modifications. Scott Baba reports.
Coronavirus numbers have been steadily improving in the state for the last 2 weeks after cresting during the sharp holiday surge. Newsom said the state seems to be moving in the right direction.
We're seeing a flattening of the curve. Everything that should be up is up. Everything that should be down is down. Case rates, positivity rates, hospitalizations, ICUs, testing starting to go back up, as well as vaccination rates in this state. But we are not out of the woods.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed said that while the latest numbers are encouraging, now is not the time to become complacent.
Today is, of course, a day of celebration, but it's also a day to just remind ourselves of the importance of how much more work we have to do to get to a better place.
I'm Scott Baba, Pacifica Radio, KPFA.
The Senate voted overwhelmingly Monday to confirm Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. Yellen is the first woman to lead the department. Yellen is tasked with leading President Biden's COVID-19 economic recovery effort. Ohio Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown said on the Senate floor that Yellen is the right person for the job.
Janet Yellen has the experience, the talent, and the commitment to service to deliver results. She's the right person through these tumultuous times. She will rise to meet this moment to help our country build back better.
All 15 votes against Yellen's confirmation came from Republican lawmakers. Some had argued that Yellen was too willing to raise taxes. She's the first person ever who will have served as Treasury Secretary, Federal Reserve Board Chair, and Chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers. With people struggling across the country in this pandemic economy, labor groups in Ohio are renewing a push for a $15 per hour minimum wage in the state. More from Mary Sherman.
State Representative Bridget Kelly, a Democrat from Cincinnati, is asking colleagues to co-sponsor a bill modeled after a recently passed ballot initiative in Florida. The Ohio measure calls for the current wage of $8.80 an hour to be raised to $10 in 2022. It would then increase every year until hitting $15 in 2027. Kelly says too many working Ohioans can't make ends meet, including some full-time workers.
We can't continue to bury our heads in the sand. We need to be modernizing our minimum wage, creating a pathway for people and families to be able to take care of themselves and to be able to meaningfully participate in our economy.
Two Democratic state senators, Cecil Thomas of Cincinnati and Herschel Craig of Columbus, are introducing a companion bill in the Senate. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden wants to more than double the current federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. It's been stuck at $7.25 since 2009. Mary Sherman reporting.
A major winter storm dropped more than a foot of snow on parts of Nebraska and Iowa. It's disrupting traffic and shuttering some schools while blanketing other parts of the middle of the country. There were early closures of several coronavirus testing sites on Monday in Nebraska and Iowa, and both states saw 12 or 13 inches of snow in places by this morning. At least 4 inches of snow was expected today across most of an area stretching from central Kansas northeast to Chicago and southern Michigan. Elsewhere in the U.S., a storm buried northern Arizona in snow on Monday while sending flurries to the outskirts of Las Vegas and Phoenix. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is backing off his demand that Senate Democrats preserve the procedural tool known as the filibuster. In its current form, the tool requires a 60-vote threshold to advance most legislation. McConnell said Monday he has essentially accomplished his goal after two Democratic senators said they would not agree to the rules change. With McConnell's announcement, a standoff over organizing the Senate that has stalled proceedings in the opening days of the Biden administration may subside. The new Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer had refused to cede to McConnell's demands. I'm Max Pringle. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
And this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth on Tuesday, January 26th. The people of India celebrate Republic Day. The holiday honors the date on which the Constitution of India came into effect on January 26, 1950, formally turning India into an independent republic. This was a major development for the people of India, who had suffered from hundreds of years of colonization by the British. Today, 71 years later, the people of India are continuing their fight for freedom. On the 71st anniversary of Republic Day, tens of thousands of protesting farmers have driven into India's capital of Delhi on tractors. Many of them are women, who account for 70% of agricultural work but are paid half as much as the men. The farmers are protesting against agriculture reform laws passed by the parliament last September 2020. They are also demanding pay equity for women farmers and all agricultural workers. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government claims the laws will benefit farmers and boost production through private investment, but the farmers cry foul. Privatization, they say. Many farmers are saying the legislation will lead to the monopolization and commercialization of agriculture, making them even more vulnerable to exploitation. Reports have surfaced that clashes broke out between farmers and the police in New Delhi. Police fired tear gas canisters and beat protesters with sticks at several locations after farmers broke through the barricades, this according to the Washington Post. Now, in the lead-up to today's actions, thousands of farmers have been blocking key highways connecting New Delhi with the country's north for almost 2 months, demanding a complete withdrawal of laws. And it seems as though their protests have inspired solidarity protests in other parts of the world, including in Bakersfield, California, and other parts of the United States. Before we welcome our guests, let us go to a protest that took place in Bakersfield, California, in solidarity with the Indian farmers and also with their own demands.
Tens of thousands of farmers in India are protesting a recent move by their government. And today, Indian farmers in Kern County showed their solidarity. So 17's Purva Shaheen joins us with this report. Purva?
That's right, Moses. Hundreds of local Indian farmers held a peaceful protest in southeast Bakersfield today. It's part of an international movement that began in India in support of small farmers. It's the largest mobilization of farmers in Indian history. For the past 7 weeks, tens of thousands of farmers in India have been peacefully protesting against three laws passed by their government.
What the laws would do, they're basically trying to like privatize the agriculture. Farmers would be selling directly to possibly even corporations, and the corporations would kind of be setting the laws.
Most of the protesters are traveling from the Punjab region of India to the country's capital city of Delhi. They're driving hundreds of miles in their tractors and trolleys. Indians from all over the world are coming together in solidarity with this protest, even here in Kern County, almost 8,000 miles away.
We want them to see that it's not just the people in India that are opposed to this, it's people all around the world.
Hundreds of local Indian farmers came out in cars and tractors. They drove along South Fairfax Road from East Panama Lane to Buena Vista Boulevard.
Even though this is a human struggle going on in India, we feel it in our hearts here and we're so passionate about it. And that's why you see all these people out here, because they feel the same way.
All in support of small farmers.
The government should want the farmers to thrive because that makes the whole country thrive. And so when you try to marginalize a group or you try to, you know, take away the rights of a group, especially a group like farmers, I mean, they're feeding the world. So it's really important.
Many of them come from a long family of farmers with ties back in India.
And, you know, my parents came from India and they know what it's like, the corruption. And we're just over here showing our support, voicing our opinions and saying, you know, give the farmers what they want. No farmers, no food.
Some fear that what's happening to farmers in India could happen in the United States.
There's so many small family farms here. And, you know, if we experience that over here, you know, what could it lead to? I mean, there's going to be millions of people without food, loss of jobs.
Although the protest in India originated in the Punjab region, Indians from all over the country are now uniting to protect their small farmers. Purva Shaheen, 17 News.
All righty, there you go, right in California, solidarity protests going on. I'd now like to welcome London-based Dee Dee Rossi. For several years, Dee Dee Rossi, who has been with the Global Women's Strike, has been a key contact for the strike in Chhattisgarh, India, where a big focus on Dalit and tribal women. She now is involved in helping to spread the word, not only about the strike, the farmers' strike, but also about the central role of women in the strike. Dee Dee Rossi, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, so Dee Dee, you have been part of the effort with others in the strike in sending a message of support to farmers in India on Republic Day. Could you share some of the highlights of that message for us?
Yes, we have been supporting the demand of the millions of striking farmers whose main demand is to repeal Modi's three farm laws. We want to show the farmers how much international support is. It was fantastic to hear of the protests in California. There's been protests of the Indian diaspora in many different countries. Even in the UK, there's children, Sikh children, supporting the farmers' protests. And we really want to show that the whole world is watching, and we are seeing the determination of the farmers' movement despite the violent repression that they're facing, including today, from the police and the authorities. We ourselves have been learning what the farm laws that they're protesting against will do. They would increase the exploitation of farmers by international national corporation by taking away, removing existing price guarantees for crop sales. And they would, you know, meaning that farmers would go more into debt, and that has been, people will know, a terrible problem. India has one of the highest suicide rates of farmers, over 400,000 in the last 25 years, because people are desperate. They cannot make ends meet. They cannot feed themselves and their families. The other law of the government is to also remove cereals, pulses, potatoes from the list of what they call essential commodities, and deregulate food supply systems, which, you know, would cause the starvation of millions of people in India. And that's why farmers are protesting. That's why farmers' families and many other workers, waged and unwaged, have supported the farmers' protests. And as you said, Margaret, 70% of farmers are women, who own just over 10% of the land. And women farmers get paid a third to half of the low wages that men farmers are paid. And Dalit and Adivasi women laborers get paid even less because of the discrimination they face. If I may say, the organization that is on the ground in Chhattisgarh, Nawa Chhattisgarh Mahila Samiti, which is an organization of Dalit and Adivasi women, says in our statement that we quoted them, they fully support the struggles of farmers' movements, and especially women farmers all over India. Most of the work is done by women, and the biggest pressure falls on them. International recognition and support means a huge amount.
Right, and thank you for that, Dee Dee, and for your work helping to coordinate this. Now, as you say, I mean, these laws, the Modi, the court actually in India, they've kind of put a hold on Modi's plans, even though he still wants to proceed with them, and the farmers are not backing down. And it's amazing that they have been camped outside the city of Delhi for a few months now, and including women and children. And I saw somewhere that they're kind of freedom schools of a sort grew up and were established as part of the encampment of these farmers. So just tell us a bit now about how central women have been on this, because in the media that you see here, of course, they focus on the men. Of course, they focus on the what they're calling violent clashes that took place today, which is Republic Day in India. But we don't hear or see a lot about the women. Dee Dee Rossi.
Yes, the women have been really an integral part of the protests themselves. A lot of the women were also driving tractors today. They were, you know, mothers with their children. Whole families have come. And it's also, can I stress that the protesters are people of all ages, and the police violence has been regardless of age, or, you know, they have beating people, very elderly people, as well as younger people. And the women have really been keeping the protest outside on the borders of Delhi for all these weeks going. Women in, you know, in the media have talked of 12-hour days, you know, cooking, feeding the whole protest movement, and, you know, helping with, you know, bedding and very basic stuff like that, which is the general housework that is needed to keep these struggles going, as well as being, you know, farm laborers and farmers themselves. They have really helped, yeah, to keep it all going. And I just wanted to say that, can I just stress another thing? The farmers' protests have, from the beginning, they have said they are peaceful protests, and they have been. You know, the internet, Modi, the Prime Minister, has shut down and suspended part of the internet in Delhi. And while the Republic Day ceremonies have been going on, you know, this violence has been turned on the protesters. Despite that, you know, tens of thousands, as you said, protesters have got into Delhi and are making their issues and their demands heard. And they have said they will not go home until the farm laws are repealed, until they're scrapped. They do not want any more discussions with the government, and the government has not budged, and they will continue. And their determination is something that we all look to and, you know, and must support in every way that we can.
Right, and Dee Dee Rossi, you, like me, a part of the global movement, demanding a care income for people who take care of other people as well as who care for the land. And there is definitely an interrelationship between people who are farmers and caring for the land, because that's what they do. And we know in India, we've certainly covered on Sojourner Truth the concern that people around the world, starting with indigenous people, have about the use of genetically engineered crops and genetically engineered seeds. And we know that that has had a devastating impact on farmers in India and contributed to the huge numbers of farmers, as you say, Dee Dee, who have committed suicide over the years. You know, they get into great debt because of this commercialization and these genetically engineered trees, Monsanto, now owned by Bayer. So it does seem as though the in demanding and opposing the kind of privatization that Modi is suggesting, that they are indeed also making a struggle for the environment and for the land. Dee Dee, your final thoughts on this?
Yes, thank you, Margaret. We are campaigning for care income for mothers and all who nurture the land and soil, care for farm animals, and defend the natural world, you know, which we're all part of. And our network includes women farmers in Nigeria and Uganda who are defending the land and their communities there. In Thailand, rural communities who, again, facing death threats from corporations and from landmine corporations. And, you know, in Haiti, there's U.S.-backed government has organized paramilitary death squads against rural and urban communities. We want a different world where the environment is nurtured, where people are nurtured, and the economy is at our use rather than we at the exploitation of the economy. We have to save the world. It's the climate change has affected people, as you say, starting with people from the south in a terrible way, and we must support the movements that are defending us and the environment and our communities.
Right, and Dee Dee, for people who want to support these efforts, to be in solidarity with the striking farmers, but also specifically with the women, but not only, what should they do? Is there a website that they can go to get more information? And also, there's some suggested tweets, et cetera, that our listeners can do in solidarity and support, Dee Dee.
Yes, we've been on our Global Women's Strike website, and we've also been working, of course, with women of color in the Global Women's Strike. We've been, you know, we're putting up information as we find it and sending support messages. And can I say that the contacts that we have on the ground have said that the farmers really need the international support. That is very, very important to them. So if people can send messages and do anything they can, you know, this struggle will continue, and we must support them all the way.
Right. Well, Didi Rossi, thank you for taking time to join us, and thank you for your work in helping to coordinate this support that you are involved in. Thank you, Didi.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All righty. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, a growing movement, it seems. You know, when we think of India, we have to remember it is massive. Indeed, just the middle class alone, I read somewhere in India, is about the size of the entire population in the United States. This, a struggle of farmers. This is tens of thousands and thousands of thousands who are involved, and it seems to be solidarity spreading around the world, but inspiring farmers in California, other parts of the U.S., and other parts of the world to really take up the struggle to defend and support family farms and oppose these huge mega farms who also do great destruction to the land. We are going to take a station break now. When we return, COVID-19, devastating indigenous communities in particular, and also the treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Right, the late, great Bob Marley, Stand Up for Your Rights. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We are also on Facebook. If you're a member, you can like and friend us there. And check out our website at www.sotrueradio.org for our community calendar, videos, and other news stories. Our handle on Instagram and Twitter at SoTrueRadio. We're also nationwide and worldwide on SoundCloud. And today we would like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in St. Louis, Missouri, and internationally. We'd like to give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners in Saskatoon, Canada. And now we are going to turn our attention to COVID-19 continuing to devastate the nation. There is, of course, a